Save big money at Menards. Gorilla tapes, glues, and adhesives are perfect for jobs around the house, indoors and out. Gorilla Heavy Duty Construction Adhesive has a 100% waterproof formula that provides a secure bond on any surface. From trim work to landscape block to hanging mirrors, it's all-purpose and holds in 30 seconds. Pick it up for your project and head to Menards.com to see all of our great deals going on now.
Save big money at Menards.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger. For the ones who get it done.
You're listening to the world's smartest podcast network.
When I go to Sacramento, I will pump up Sacramento. Sacramento.
Some say the news is fake. Others say it's real. These two don't have the time to check. Instead, Turner Sparks and Michael Ira Kaplan turn to comics stationed around the globe to be their eyewitness reporters so that you can know what's really going on. This is Lost in America.
All right, everybody, welcome to Lost in America, episode 274. My name is Turner Sparks.
And I'm Mike Kaplan.
You can find me at turnersparks.com. You can find me in Philadelphia at Side Stage Comedy Club, July 30th. Oh, July 26th. If you're in New York City, come to the Friars Club. We're doing a big show. I'm hosting a monthly show there. We got Will Silvince on the show. Mike Reese from The Simpsons. You ever heard of The Simpsons?
I've heard of it.
The Critic. He co-created The Critic. He's doing a spot on the show. It's going to be awesome. Come on out to that. You can find Kaplan and me in El Salvador next week.
If you come on out to El Salvador,
come down to El Salvador. We're filming a TV version of this podcast. We're adapting this pod for television. We're filming our very first episode this weekend in El Salvador. Next week in El Salvador. Very exciting. You can find Kaplan in El Salvador and on all social media platforms at Cap in America. On the show today, we have Anton Timoshenko back to the show from Ukraine. We're going to be talking to him in just a minute, getting a full update on what's going on over there, what the status is on this war, how Ukraine can win the war, what does winning the war even mean, all that kind of stuff. But Cap, before that.
Yeah. What's before that?
We need money. Tell people how we can get
money. We're going to El Salvador to look for money. So if you want to help us out, patreon.com/lostinamerica. Become our sponsor. Become a patron of the arts. Help us out, please. We're not beggars. We're not just asking for your money for nothing. We're giving you, what are we giving them? We're giving them
for $5 a month. Are you asking me or not?
It's a reoccurring.
You just said, what are we giving them? And I answered, but then you answered too.
Well, I'll answer myself and then you'll fill in what I missed. But we do 2 to 3 episodes a week for $5 a month, bonus episodes. And we're going to tell everybody all about
$5. You blasted through that. $5 a month is all it is.
It's a bargain. That's like the price of a coffee is getting so expensive with inflation that that's cheaper than coffee now.
That's cheaper than coffee.
Cheaper than coffee. Yeah, that's what we got to raise our prices with inflation soon. But for now, we're going to keep it $5 a month. You get it 3 episodes a week. And what else do we give? Oh, for $10 a month, we give out free T-shirts, right? From
a T-shirt or a mug. Lost in America, number one in Armenia. You just told me off air we went to number 3 in El Salvador. So maybe we should make number 3 in El Salvador T-shirt.
Well, once we do the TV show, once we're walking the streets with the people, literally going door to door with the people, we're going to be heroes in that country. We'll be number 1 forever. So we'll make
merch.
That's
a good point. Yeah, we'll
and for $15 that. A month, I will send you a COVID test if you're in America.
Is this a new level? I don't even know.
This is a new level. I've got 76 COVID tests in my apartment, thanks to the New York City school system. So I will mail them to you.
Kaplan, the New York City school system gives Kaplan what, 4 a week?
4 a week. And we've using them too, but we still got
so 70. You get them for free.
Free, yes.
And there's all these people out there dying of COVID, but you said they have to pay if they want them. You're hoarding.
Well, I'm not. I could be selling them. I could be selling them on the streets.
Sounds like you are. You just said $15 a month.
Well, you're getting 3 episodes a week. and you're getting free COVID tests. So it's really,
You can't say, give me $15 and you get a free COVID test. That makes it not free.
All right. Well, what are you there? All right. Well, don't sue me for that. But it's, I liked our listeners. We don't have enough patrons. We can't
$20 a month, Kaplan. Right? Enough already. $20 a month. You get your own ad on this show. Speaking of this show, let's get to this show. What do you know, Cap, about what's going on? Before I bring on our guest who's live from Ukraine, I don't know if he's, last time we talked to him, he was in Kiev. And Kaplan, I need to remind you, because you personally got a lot of hate mail on this. It is not the Ukraine.
I'm going to work on it this week.
Ukraine. Kaplan calls it the Ukraine because he supports Putin and the Russians.
One time, I made a mistake.
I call it Ukraine. But the but on YouTube, they exploded on you. They said this guy is he supports the evil empire over there.
But what we do in this show is we're authentic. I knew I made a mistake. I could have asked to have that stricken from the record, but I said no. I made a mistake. People have me.
You didn't even know you made a mistake until I told you like a month later.
You're just letting me out. But anyway, in the war between Russia and Ukraine, I was feeling good about Ukraine because of a couple of things that I noticed over the recently. I saw that Putin is so desperate for generals that he brought in like a 67-year-old guy, but like he's like an old
fat guy.
He brought in a 280-pound fat man who needs like special, like they don't even make body armor to like protect him. He needs like special armor. He's like he was like an old general in the 80s in Afghanistan. That's how desperate they are. They're like going to like the stage of
They're like calling back all the old timers.
It's like Rambo. Yeah. It's like
calling them back into action because all the younger guys are dead.
Or have crossed Putin or incompetent. So I think that's a good sign because I don't know what kind of strategy he's going to run, but I don't think the young Russian soldiers today are going to be, it's not going to work well. So I'm feeling good about that. What else is going on?
Well, we're at this point in the war where it's been going on a long time now and people are saying, hey, we kind of have to get ready. This could be a long war, which I don't know what that means. The last war we were in lasted 20 years. So and it just ended in September.
But
we're
that was like far away from us. So it was like we barely knew what was happening.
That's what they mean by long war. And now we're trying to figure out, well, if it's long, who is that better for it? Is it better for Putin? Because he's a madman and he'll just keep sending Russians in to get killed and killed and killed and killed and killed. Or is it better for Ukraine? Because they have this partnership with the West and NATO and everybody else. And we'll keep sending them supplies and money and military.
And they have soldiers who actually want to fight because they believe in the cause. So
I don't know, but I know that Russia is now controlling eastern parts of the country. But I want to know. And let's bring Anton in on this. My first question to you, Anton, is what is Ukraine? What's the current goal for Ukraine in this war? Is it to take the entire country back? Or is it just to like, hey, we're going to give them part of it and let's just get out of this thing?
Hello, guys. No, we are not talking about to give any part of our country for Russians. And our the current goal is to get out all Russians from our territory, even from east and south and Crimea, too. So nobody wants to make a compromise. Any compromise with Russia now is impossible because of numbers of people who died with this is our fight with Russia. So now all the society, all the people are angry enough to fight till the end. So I can see the way to, you know, to find this this one of the reason why, like maybe a month ago, Emmanuel Macron got some hate from Russia, from Ukrainians, because he said that maybe we need to give some part of our land to help Putin save his face, but Putin's face is already bad. So we will not do something with our land to save Putin's face, Putin's leg, Putin's arm, I don't know, anything from Putin's body. So
Emmanuel Macron and me, we're both getting hate mail.
Emmanuel Macron. Oh. Yeah, the president.
So you shared the hate.
We shared Macron. The hate mail. He said the Ukraine should give back.
No. Yes, for you, Kaplan, it sounds like one of the like good, your career is high because you can share the hate with Emmanuel Macron. It means you're a very high guy.
Yeah, yes. Kaplan's becoming more and more famous.
Like older women, so.
Yeah, we both become more famous starting from our last episode because I'm have some stand up in English and you perform in Salvador on TV version of your podcast.
How about that? Well, let's get into that for a second. So I don't even think I gave you a proper introduction because we've had you on so many times. I forget, but I'm sure we have new listeners. So Anton Samoshenko, stand up comedian based in Ukraine, performed years ago for current President Zelensky on a TV show. And you've most recently once the war started, you kept doing stand-up comedy, but you started doing it in bomb shelters throughout Kiev. And you started doing it in English and then filming it and putting it online. And I think I can safely say that you have more views in English than I do for your stand-up comedy. It's gone like super viral. It's everywhere. How's that been? So first of all, why did you decide to start putting out? Because your comedy up until this point has always been in Ukrainian, in your language.
Yeah,
Why did you decide to start doing it in English?
The main reason was very practical because I understand that all the people in Ukraine try to collect money for our army. And I collected two and I send my money to army. And then I understand I don't have enough money. And I feel that people... spend a lot of money on that. So I decided maybe I can earn this money in some kind of other ways. I mean, from abroad and what I can do for people from abroad to get this money for me, for my army. Probably I can try to do stand-up in English because a lot of people from abroad can read a lot of news about Ukraine, a lot of stuff, but they don't have enough content, entertain, maybe content from Ukraine. And I think that stand up one of the good way to message the world about our problems and do it with some kind of jokes. And for me, this is what stand up about, because stand up is about global problems, about social problems. And for me, this position in Ukraine was probably the best stand-up was the best way to message, to give some kind of message, because it's what I do before war. I always joke about politics before war, and now my job pretty the same. I'm just talking about politics, but with some kind of jokes about dead Russians in my stand-up. Just add some dead Russians in my material.
Take old jokes and add dead Russians. Insert.
Yeah, that's not so difficult. Just add some jokes about dead Russians.
It was pretty crazy because you were sending us kind of the rough draft of what you had written.
I'm really appreciate your help because you were my comedy buddies from USA, and I ask you, is it understandable, this kind of jokes? Is it funny at all? If that people will understand all my trying to say, and you helped me a lot with that.
It was amazing. It was fun to do. You sent us your rough draft of what you wrote, and then we just had it was all your jokes. We just moved some words around a little bit, stuff like that. But then it was crazy. A week later, you posted the video of you doing it in a bomb shelter in Kiev.
A real bunker.
And you kill it. You're doing great. And I called my wife over. I was like, hey, come watch this. I'm killing in Ukraine right now. I was like, I helped with that joke. I remember helping write that joke. How did you get the audience there? How did you get, because the lighting is perfect. The sound is perfect. The production is really good. How'd you get all that put together in the middle of a war zone?
Well, this shelter is the place for events. We had some kind of events in this shelter before war. Not often because it's too small to do big shows. So it's usually was a place for open mics, for 40 people can sit there and a couple of comedians can check the material. And in April, we start to do some kind of we tried to do some stand up in beginning of April. And I remember that I checked a couple of events because I said, I'm not ready. I'm not sure I'm ready to do stand up. But then I saw that people, my friends, my colleagues did some stand up and people really appreciate it. And they write we need this some kind of events to feel more relaxed. And I think, okay, I can try. I must say this was my third stand up. after the war began in English. I do like two in Ukrainian, like small stand-ups, and then I try in English. People were very surprised because for me, this was kind of experiment, and I didn't warn them.
You didn't let them know it was going to be an English language show.
They didn't know that his show will be in English. My stand-up in English was a part of usual Ukrainian stand-up show. Like they like three guys do stand-up in Ukraine, and then the host say, and now we will have some stand-up in English. People are like, what do you mean?
Yeah, what if you're sitting in the audience and you don't speak English? Because none of the audience was
right. There's no American tourists there,
right?
No, that's just Ukrainian. It's very Ukrainian people. And yeah, when I start do some stuff, I understand that not all of them understand my jokes. Not all of them understand English. I have like, but the majority of the guys understand it. And when I wrote my stand up, I knew that a lot of people maybe will not be ready to this. So I tried to do. It's more understandable, more simple, and I understand also that I will perform like for the world audience, and that's why people from all the world have to understand my jokes if I wanted to give them this message. So I tried to do it like more simple sentences, more simple words, and this is so strange on my first video and on my second video too. Because my task is to make people laugh in my audience, like for Ukrainian jokes have to be okay.
Like
for
the
Ukrainian
people sitting right in front of you need to laugh.
Yeah, they need to laugh, and also the guy from Australia and then of Switzerland have to laugh too. And this is so interesting mission.
Yeah,
to construct your joke, your sentence in so understandable way and make it fun.
By the way, that's how it works in America, though. Like you said, you need to make the joke simple so everyone understands. That's what we have to do in America to speaking to an American audience. I'm not even kidding. Like a big part of learning to be a better comedian is
because
simplifying.
Because you have a lot of different
people from different all around the country.
Yeah, because every city you go to, every state has different. It's like going to 50 different countries at some points, you know. So you have to really simplify what you're saying. Speak. They say a big part of comedy, a big part of learning comedy is like they say, don't use a $10 word when a $1 word will work. And that means like always use the simplest speech. So you're not leaving anyone out in the premise and the setup.
$1 work. You say it's me. It costs $1 work.
Like a $1 word, a word that costs $10. Basically a more complicated
a word that a kindergartner would understand.
Yeah.
And you asked about production. It was not difficult to organize because we had a lot of people in Kyiv who didn't have a job and didn't have anything to do. Like it's difficult to find some hobbies at war. So
yeah,
it was really easy to find.
So the comedy clubs are full during wartime because everyone's sitting around with
it's
nothing
recession
to do.
Proof or war. They say recession proof industries. War proof.
These guys with cameras did it for free and some basic lights. We could get some basic lights. So yeah, we tried to do it because we need normal picture, because if I had like very dark picture with bad sound and with blood on my face, I'm not sure it will be so.
Could raise money with blood on your face, but yeah.
Yeah, it's easy to get raise money, but to make people laugh is more difficult.
Kaplan's mostly into the money.
I thought the point. Well, it's
the
good
point is to raise money. You're right.
Yeah, but no, and it's good. These camera guys and whatnot are out in the front lines fighting, I guess, the best ones. So that's good too. So
where are you now?
I'm here in Kiev.
Gone to a different city.
Last week.
I was in Lviv just a couple of days ago. I start to make stand up in other cities because people ask me to come.
Wait, so you can tour?
It's on the road
during a war.
I'm going to make a tour during war, tour in shelters, in different shelters in my country, like in Lviv, in Frankivsk, in Chernobyl, and I'm afraid to go to. I need to say I'm afraid to go to Kharkiv for now. and to Odessa. I'm not sure about that, but I'm going to visit these cities too with my stand-up. I'm just waiting to get more silence period of this war. And I totally will go to Dnipro city and in a couple of cities in the center of the country and in Kiev too.
How do you get from city to city? Do you take trains or do you take?
Yeah, we can train works and we can use bus and cars. You know, for now, war is more located in the east and on the south, but in the same time, Russian missiles sometimes hit the buildings in Kiev.
Russian missiles.
For example, like just people in Kiev start to feel more, you know, relaxed. Like, I know, a couple of weeks ago, they feel like, okay, probably the war only on the east now or on the south. Well, we'll be in safe, so we can go to make some parties and start to do concerts. And then there's just a week ago, the Russian rocket hit in the center of the Kiev on Lukyanivka station, on Artom plants, it calls this place. And a couple of people died, a lot of people injured. So, and people in Kiev like, okay, it's not so safe at all.
So when a Russian missile hits Kiev, where is it coming from? How far away is it being launched? Or is it coming out of an airplane that's flying overhead? Or where's the missile coming from?
Oh, I'm not sure about the place. Russia had a lot of rockets that can fly like for a long distance. They have this super, how to say in English, the rockets that flies faster than the sound. This ultrasound rockets, how it calls, I'm not sure. The faster than the sound.
Okay.
Speed of sound, yeah.
How do you say?
Faster than the speed of sound, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, like faster than the speed of sound. So even the air sirens couldn't start because already shoot there some kind of buildings.
But are they trying to hit Kiev, or are they like mistake is what we're thinking when they hit?
No, they how they explain that they continue to destroy military infrastructure in different countries, in different cities. Like they hit the Kiev, they hit the Chernihiv, Kremenchuk. Like for a couple, four days ago or something like that, they hit the mall in
Central Ukraine, right? Like a shopping mall?
Yes, shopping mall in Kremenchuk. A lot of people died. And they said that they hit the building because they get the information that some kind of military armory from our partners come to this mall and we like, and or something like, near to this mall was a kind of base for military armor for some kind of Ukrainian rockets. But it sounds like a bullshit because there were no like any military base. They just hit. I don't know why. Nobody understands.
I mean, that's just terrorism. Why. That's just sowing.
I try to understand. A lot of our experts try to understand why they hit these buildings. Just malls, maybe they had some disinformation, but it's so strange to talk about that when you already have the result. The result is that Russia destroying like just malls and killed like people in Ukraine. And why they did it, I don't want to spend time to understand why.
Yeah, it's almost not worth spending time trying to figure it out because he's a madman. Like you... Yeah. He doesn't. I don't know if Putin acts rationally. I mean, have we talked about this before, Cap? I feel like we might have talked about this on this show. But the question of does.
But you about if, this about his rational thoughts. You can. I don't know if you heard about that. But in Ukraine, it was like one of the very important news that when one of the economic forum in Petersburg or something like that in Russia, Putin said that he feels like. Peter first.
Well, like I saw that. Yeah.
Peter what?
First is like
Peter the
Peter first. How to say in English?
Peter the Great.
Peter the Great.
Peter the Great, the king of the Russia in like in 18th century or something like that. And he feels like that. And he said that this Peter. You know better than I the in English version of this king, Peter the Great.
I don't know who that is.
I know that Putin calls himself Peter the Great. I don't know.
I will say that.
Who Peter is that, Kaplan?
Well, he was a leader of Russia, but.
But yeah. I mean, what is that story referencing to? Do you know? I don't know.
Well, I can look it up, but I don't know what exactly. I mean, he was just, he's bragging about how well they're doing, right? Defeating the, like, what year was Peter the Great in?
No. I mean, why? What does the reference even mean? That he's a great leader?
Yeah, Peter the piece of shit. He said
1830, sir. Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead. Sorry, yeah. This king, he tried to make Russia wider. I mean, he started a lot of wars. He tried
expansion.
Fought Sweden, right? Yeah.
He tried to fuck Sweden, this Turkish territory, like Crimea, this wars in Crimea, all this stuff. And Putin said that this Peter, the greatest piece of shit, he tried to, to resurrect the Russia, how to say that in
to like
English?
Reunify Russia, bring Russia back to Russia, bring
make Russia great again.
Make Russia great again.
I mean, Peter the Great was like a ruthless autocrat, like from the old. It wasn't, so it's a great role model. Yeah. But
and Putin said that he feels like this guy, and he tries to reunion Russia again as the Peter the greatest piece of shit. So he literally said. That everybody think about Putin, that he just created the guy who trying to reunion the Russia with all these territories about Ukraine, about Finland and all these territories. And it's not about the language problem. It's not about, the NATO problem. It's only about his ambition to reunion the Russian territory.
As you're saying, it's kind of what we've all always assumed was the reason, yes. But he used to give all these different excuses. It's not that. Yes. It's about this. Now he's just saying
it.
What it is.
He just said it.
And I want
it back. He said it with his stupid smile.
Peter the Great, I think, wanted to he respected Europe and wanted to make Russia more modern and everything. And Putin's taking it really backwards.
Different sides of the Peter of the greatest piece of shit. Yeah, he tried to make Russia
Peter the Great, the piece of shit. I like that.
But yeah, this is my definition of Peter.
Greatest
Peter the not so great. Yeah,
not so great. Peter not so great is the best definition. Yeah, he tried to. He made some reforms in Russia that looks like European reforms. But as I understand, he did it because Russia was really in a bad economical situation, so he tried to bring it back to life, and he always started this wars. That means it was forced. He was forced to do these reforms, because if he will not did it, Russia will just self-destroy itself.
Yeah. How do people compare like February or March, like the beginning of the war until now?
Yeah.
How do the Ukrainian people, how is the morale? How is the spirit of the people? Is it good? Is it bad? Is it tired? Exhausted?
That's one of the most difficult questions. I had a couple of jokes about my interviews, because a lot of foreign journalists ask me questions how it feels like to joke during the war. Yeah, like you, but it's more fun to talk.
We're not
to
journalists; we are insiders.
Yeah, you're more fun. That these journalists are like serious. How it feels to joke during war? And I always answer
joke during war.
I just answer random answers because sometimes it feels okay. Sometimes it feels very bad. Sometimes I just was angry and I said, well, it feels fucking bad. Just try to do it yourself.
Wait, here's the real
answer. Depends if the joke works or not. How it feels.
It depends on if the joke hits.
Yeah, exactly.
If the joke lands, it feels great.
A bomb's a bomb, you know?
But if the joke bombs, then it would feel shitty to do that in Tampa too, you know?
Yeah, and people become more, we had some kind of scandals in stand-up in Ukraine because a couple of comedians did really bad jokes. They
Cancel
culture. We start talking about cancel culture in Ukraine before war.
It's hard to get canceled during a war. it's impressive.
I already go through the cancel culture before war, so now I feel more okay.
Wait, you got canceled?
before
I was canceled. I was canceled a little because I have a joke. We all have jokes about cancel culture in Ukraine, because we said, like, in USA, when comedians get canceled, they lose their contracts with streaming platforms.
Yeah.
They lose their money. In Ukraine, when you get canceled, you lose nothing because you had nothing before cancel.
Uncancelable. So like me and Kaplan. You can't cancel us.
Yeah,
what are you going to do? Not let us podcast next week?
You will cancel our show in El Salvador. Okay, let's try.
We're funding that ourselves. What do we care?
Exactly. You can't cancel our Patreon show.
I guess Patreon could deplatform. Take away $300.
Take $300.
I'm thinking in our
mugs.
To start Patreon too. I can say about the mood of the people, I can say about that maybe from my point of view,
compared to
how I feel myself. Yeah.
2 or 3 months
because
ago. How do you feel?
My mood is like, it's like people are exhausted,
tired.
It's always changed. Like yesterday I was really bad. Like, I was in Lviv like a couple of days ago. I had shows in Lviv, and I did great. I did great gigs. People react very good. Then I came to Kyiv and feel very bad. I don't know. Just because of this background of this news, because this background of the news of the people dying, of this destruction, right. It's always on me. Like, you always feel you can try to forget about that, but you can't. And when you try to forget, then you catch yourself and ask, oh, you forget about war. How do you feel about that, Anton? And you start to feel even more bad because you forget about important stuff. This is so difficult. So my mood and mood of my people, they change it like every day.
Fluctuates based on the news.
It's based on news too, yeah. Because sometimes we had good news, sometimes we had very bad news, and sometimes we are so angry about the world. Sometimes we feel really appreciated about the world help, and then we realize that this help is not enough again, and we start to become angry. So this is really difficult to explain, even in Ukrainian language and in English. When people ask me about my mood and the mood of people, I just don't know. I just don't know what to answer, because it's so strange. It's like I'm sure that after a war, if this war will finish someday, I will spend a huge amount of money for psychotherapy, because therapy. So, and even for me, like, I need to make jokes. I will go on this stand-up tour to collect money for me and for army too, and to help people feel more better.
Well, that's your excuse if you ever get canceled in the future. You say I was suffering through things.
Now I'm really afraid that I will be, just 1 week ago, I thought I have enough energy to make a stand-up tour. And like today, I think maybe I'm not here. Maybe this is a really bad idea to make a stand-up tour at this time. But my friends, they try to do something like that. We have a lot of this charity stand-up show, charity improve shows. So I'm just continuing to work, because I know that my army working all the time. My friends in army, they worked all the time. They fight to save my ass. So I couldn't feel tired, you know, because when I feel tired, I feel shamed, because my friends in army defends me and I will feel tired. No, I need to do something. I need to work.
And honestly, you're in the audience, you're doing them this great service, because I'm sure they're all going through what you're going through, and they have these low moments, and then to come to a place and laugh, I mean, that the ultimate escape. So that's great.
People give me a lot of a lot of messages, like, you know, I did some shows and people just write in direct message in Twitter or Instagram, thank you for do it, because for example, like, I saw your improved stuff with your friends, and it was only one thing that helps me to feel better for a long time. So thank you about that. And I feel, okay, probably my work is important too. But for today, we get this new, I need to check it, but it really seems like true, like that all the guys who have this age to go to army, all the how to say this in one word, военно-забовьянные, conscripts. Conscripts. Do you know
transcript? The word? New transcripts of the army.
Conscripts. Воєнне зобов'язання. Like the guys who. Oh man, this is so difficult to explain in English. Like every guy in the country, like from the age from 18 till 60, have to go to army.
Right, and, mandatory.
Okay.
Conscription. Yeah.
Conscription.
I'm forgetting English too now. So yeah, I think that's it.
Sorry about that. Yeah, I read that in news that we have a new law that all the guys with this age can't leave their region when they leave without the permission from the military center.
Okay.
So I need to go to military center to get the permission to go to other city in my country to go to live. So for now, I don't know, can I do my stand-up tour? I will understand tomorrow if it will pass.
You need like the military approval to do your stand-up.
Yeah. Tour. And it's so difficult to explain.
And I guess stand-up. The idea is because
I'm comedian. I need to go to live because I'm so funny guy. Oh, you're so funny. Maybe you need to go to Donetsk and give some joke there. Oh, yeah. Probably. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
What about with actually, we should take a break. We need to pay some bills here.
Pay the bills.
We are part of the world's smartest podcast ever. When we get back, I want to find out about I've got some questions on Zelensky and how he's doing these days. But okay. We're part of the world's smartest podcast network. That is us, Lost in America. That is The Political Orphanage with Professor Andrew Heaton. That is Majoring in Everything with Dr. Andrea Jones Roy.
Yes.
And we want you to subscribe to all these shows. These are all great shows. We go back and forth. We go on Heaton show a lot. We still
never been invited to Andrea's show.
Still
I don't
waiting
think she
on my invitation for
wants
Andrea's
us on that.
Show. Still we're waiting.
We're not but, doctors. That's the problem.
I assume we'll be on there at some point. And listen, it's great. And so anyway, everybody. Sorry, I just heard some background noise. I don't know what's going on.
You're being heckled.
Subscribe to all those shows. Also, I think that's it. We don't have
worldsmartestpodcastnetwork.com.
That's it. WorldSmartestPodcastNetwork.com, everybody. And now, a word from your local sponsor. All right, we're back.
Is Anton there?
Anton went somewhere. I thought you were going to say thank you, sponsors.
I got distracted. Thank you, sponsors.
There we go.
For never canceling us, staying with us through thick or thin.
Look at that. They stick with no matter what we say.
No matter
they
what
give
we
us a
say.
Free. Listen, say what you will about these sponsors. Some people say, I don't want to go skiing in Vermont all the time. Yeah, you know,
some people say that.
Some people say we've had the New York City NYPD sponsor us before. People say that's well, oh, yeah, yeah. You support the cop. Yes, we support anyone who supports us.
Pretty much anyone who supports us. Except we will not take money
bought.
From Russians. No Russians.
Except Russians. We haven't had a Russians have never.
No okay. Borscht.
Okay,
anyway,
the Russian government, slippery slope. Anyway, point
back
is,
to the show.
Point is, how is Zelensky? So what about Zelensky's popularity from at the very beginning? It was like sky high. The whole world loves Zelensky. He's America. I mean, he's the world's president,
the world's right? leader.
Yeah. Everyone. Nice. He's number one. And so, but how do people feel about him now? Does he still have the same support he did 2 or 3 months ago?
Yeah, it's the same support, Eric. For this period of time, there was no scandals with Zelensky or with some guys who close to him, like everything very clear and very fine. People already start to. Like people in Ukraine who likes, for example, Poroshenko more than Zelensky, they try to find some negative side of this war, negative side of Zelensky, but they can't. That's why it's still the same. And I turned the video because, for example, Zelensky, he every night we have this video.
Oh, like a video message.
He addresses the nation.
Yeah. Thank you. That video message from Zelensky about important stuff. And for now, he said, I heard about this problem that this conscription for all the guys.
Wait, he's listening to the podcast live.
Yeah.
He listened just to
hear about it from us.
You just listening.
Yeah. We're breaking news to your president.
Yeah, he listened to my earphones all the time. So he said he will check what the problem is. Yeah. Zelensky made his job great from my point of view, and all, not the only Zelensky. It's not about Zelensky talk. It's talk about all the guys who worked with him, like our military minister Zaluzhny, all the guys who work in diplomacy center. They all did their job fine from my point of view, and it's difficult to find any like problems or any mistakes, any big mistakes. If you saw these mistakes, you can save me, and I'll maybe
answer. No, I don't know. I haven't found much. But is that how most people feel, or is the country split?
Country not split. Country still unite. Yeah. We really unite every people, different people, even if people are not like, you know, like for example, like Russian speak. We have a lot of Russian speaking people in Ukraine, and you know, like people who like Russia before war, but none of them changed their mind. All of them understand that for now we need to be united, and Russia is our enemy. And I see any like splits in society. Some marginals, we have some marginals group, but they don't have like a big number of people in this group. So it all feels like really united country for now.
That's great. What about, let's get into this, like where Putin's trying to go here. It seemed like at the beginning of the war, he obviously tried to take Kyiv, right? He wanted to take the whole country. He wanted to get Zelensky killed.
Kill Zelensky.
At least kicked out of the country.
Yeah.
That didn't happen. And then he kind of like backed off. I'm using him but Russia basically backed off and then went hard into the Donbass region and has now taken part of that. It seems as though they've taken part of the south, the Mariupol.
Yes. And Kherson too.
And now there's this idea that they're going to cut off the grain supply to the world, which come out of the Black Sea. They get shipped in and out of the Black Sea. And if they cut that off, then there would be starvation throughout Africa and parts of Asia.
The third world, especially, it sounds like.
And the point of that, I guess, is just to pressure the world into giving them all of Ukraine. Is that the idea?
Well, it's difficult to understand all the Putin's ideas. He already started to Russians stole a lot of the wheat from Ukraine, and they start to sell it to China. And as I heard, the India already bought a couple of wheat stuff from Russia that
they
was
need their
stolen
non-bread.
From Ukraine. China, Russia, and India, some really interesting friend zone. But as I heard like today that the Xi Jinping, this the main guy in China, he refused to visit Russia because of the COVID restrictions. But I'm sure it's not because of the COVID, because COVID is not a
Russia has COVID restrictions, or Russia doesn't have COVID restrictions?
No, China does. Hasn't left. I will say he hasn't left mainland China since before 2020, since the pandemic, since 2019, basically.
Yeah.
So he hasn't been anywhere. He hasn't visited anywhere. But they are pretty icy. China has this weird relationship with Russia where they kind of support them when it's beneficial to them, and then they don't when it's not. And I don't think it's a hard, tight friendship they have going.
Yeah, I think China just try to get all the useful resource they can get from this friendship with Putin. And when they smell the shit in air, they just, we're just not friends of Russia. That's fine.
That's exactly it.
Our own country, own problems. Taiwan, all this stuff.
They're not someone they can control on long term. Can count on.
About the starvation, I know how to... what I can say about that, I can say, for example, in my stand-up, I had a couple of jokes about this problem, and the people in Ukraine feel a little bit angry when the European leaders and some United Nations leaders talk about this starvation stuff. It's real starvation stuff. Mention only Ukraine. Like they didn't mention Russia as a причина, as as a reason of this starvation. Russia is the reason of this problem with all this feed, but the world leaders often speaking about that, like, oh, it's Ukraine problem. It's because of Ukraine can't give Russia some kind of territory and help us to get some wheat from Ukraine. Like,
I don't know. That's not the news we're getting here. No one over here, no one in the U.S. is blaming Ukraine.
Yeah, I think there's the Putinist loyalists who blame everything. Well, it's they blame the Ukraine's
position. I'm sure that's the story Putin wants the world to believe going forward, but it's not. Putin, as you said, this idea of Putin trying to save face is laughable. Like, he has no allies, I don't think, in the West.
As I know, the last news I heard about how the world and how the Ukraine tried to solve this problem with the wheat, that, for example, Denmark and some other countries give us this harpoon systems, special rockets that helps to get Russian ships back or like more far from Ukrainian territory.
Yeah.
And it helps to make some kind of corridor, some kind of way to transport this wheat. And also Turkey, or how they ask to change the name. I thought Daily Show with Trevor Noah, and he said that Turkey asking to change the spell of Turkey in English because they don't like that it sounds like Turkey, like the chicken.
Animal?
So they wanted to spell it like...
Really?
I forget their proposition.
I mean, I love turkey. It's a great deli meat. I don't know why they're afraid.
Yeah, because you have this your holiday when you
Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving.
It makes us it makes Americans more pro turkey.
I don't think that's the number one issue with turkey.
Yeah,
that's where all this hostility with Erdogan comes from.
I think Erdogan has other issues. It's not that we mix up the name and we think it's an animal. Some people, do you want to go to the country of Turkey? You go, what, the animal?
I mean, I never go to the country of Chad because I never liked that name. But no.
What's the goal with Ukraine right now? So I know it's to get, you said it's to get all the country, get the full country back, including.
We all understand it's not like a fast goal. Everybody in Ukraine understand that this war is not a fast war.
You're going to dig in. They understand.
No, is it also then to kill Putin and get change the regime in Russia to get him out of office?
For me and for my, I'm not sure about all Ukraine, but for me and for my friends and the guys who meet my stand-up, nobody wants to make Russian job. Like, nobody wants to work in Russia to help them to make their regime. No, it's their job. They have to do it by themselves because this is too much. This is too much work for Ukrainians. So we need to save our country.
Well,
we need to save Russia. Then you need to save what else? China. What else need
they
to
our...
do? Ukrainians need to do all this work.
You see it as work. We see it as joy.
Well, we have
an American military goes into another country and changes their government. We're fighting for freedom.
But we've never fought a defensive war on our land. So we don't need.
Yeah. For now. Our goal is just to save our lands and get Russian military back to.
Let me just correct the record quickly, Cap. What about World War II? Didn't Japan bomb Pearl Harbor?
Oh, you're right. But the war wasn't fought.
We changed their regime.
That's true. But the war wasn't fought on American soil. That's what I meant. We haven't been through that. So Hawaii. Come on.
Hawaii is. You're going to get canceled again. Hawaii is part of America.
The greatest generation is going to cancel me now.
Oh, but this is nice why you just lose Hawaii in your past podcast.
This is why I have to simplify my words when I do comedy in America because people like Kaplan, they don't know Hawaii is part of the United States.
I know about Pearl Harbor. Believe me, I'm just saying we never fought. Luckily, we've been very great, lucky in America. We never fought with Canada or Mexico in American soil. At least not in our lifetime.
That Hawaii is American soil.
But they didn't have troops. They came on, they dropped some things and they moved away. It was not the same thing. We did fight the Japanese in California. But anyway, I have a question about you guys did because you mentioned all the losses, but you did capture Snake Island. It was a strategic victory. How important was that? We did read about.
I'm not like a military expert. I'm not sure how the importance of this victory, but I just. Just remember that we always, just for a couple of weeks ago, we always have this kind of news Like every evening we had the news that Ukrainian missiles hit someone at this Snake Island. Ukrainian missiles hit one more again, someone of guy Snake Island. And every day we had this news, so Russians probably understand, well, maybe it's not the best place to to stay, so they just go back to the Russia from this island. I think it probably, I'm not the expert, but probably it can be useful to, when we talk about this war, ships corridor for transport this wheat stuff from Ukraine, probably this Snake Island can be important, but I don't know what the value of this Snake Island in all this war. Is it so good, or is it just
got a great name? I think that's what we people like to say, Snake Island here. So
it sounds like a horrible place for a honeymoon.
And Russia, for example.
But you need the does that lift morale though a little bit when they're, I mean, when you mentioned people can be very deflated. So these, I mean, this, I guess
you speak so fast. You speak so fast.
I'm sorry. Was that a morale booster, like to lift the spirits a little bit when you get these? Because it's been, I don't know. That's what I was implying.
A little morale booster, but now like we this week Russian. We had some kind of not the silence, but like Russian missiles. I know one more time. Just one, maybe 2 weeks ago, we start to feel more relaxed in Ukraine because Russian rockets stopped to hit our cities like every day. And this week, they hit it all the time. The Odessa, Nikolaev, Kyiv, Kremenchuk, Dnipro, my native region, the Dnipro region. It hits like three times just yesterday. This is too much. So it's difficult to feel, you know, better about the Snake Island when you have all this stuff. This is difficult to write stand-up about that and to give any conclusions because like this active phase of the war, and I just can't say what I'm thinking because I don't know what I'm thinking. I'm just in thinking in this moment, and all my conclusions change like every day. That's why I don't know how to give the summary of this.
What? No problem. Just tell us whatever you're thinking now, and if you can't answer. What's the what about the view towards the Western support? Do people think we're doing enough? We're not doing enough.
Western support.
USA? Yeah, US and United,
NATO,
Europe, and everybody kind of. Yeah, we already know they don't like Macron.
Boris Johnson has been great, right?
And Olaf Scholz.
No, Boris Johnson, we should say, has volunteered to train, he said, 10,000. Ukrainian troops, new troops, every 120 days. He thinks the British can train.
By himself or?
No, hopefully not Boris Johnson himself training them.
Okay, you can need to do this here and you can be angry.
So yeah, what do people think of the Western support?
From my point of view, what I see, people feel really okay, really good about Western support for this year. You had this party about July 1st, this national holiday, and a lot of people in Ukraine put your United States flag in their...
Look at that.
In Twitter name, you know, when they...
Wow!
These Americans weren't celebrating this year, but in Ukraine they were celebrating.
We celebrated too because you are friends and a lot of... I thought to do some kind of joke about that in my Twitter, but I was so tired because of the stand-up after... after my small tour in Lviv, so I just can't create a joke. Sorry about that, but yeah,
you didn't light fireworks, though, right?
Yeah, we celebrated as probably as much as our national holiday, so it's really
close.
But yeah, I also have to say, I heard one of the experts on our YouTube. I work at one of the YouTube show, and we have one of the expert, and he's a really good guy, and he. Say really carefully. He said really carefully all his prognosis about war, and one of the problem he see that West promised a lot of stuff, a lot of weapon for Ukraine, but it goes really slow to Ukraine, and we we lose our territory on the east, I mean, the Donbas region and Luhansk region, we have to retreat this fight because we don't have enough military staff. So from one point of view, we get all these promises to get these weapons, but from on the other side, we get it a little bit slow. That's why we need to retrieve. And I don't know, because I'm not like military expert. I don't know how to analyze the situation. Is West helps as fast as he can. And we all understand that in USA government, not everyone like this. Not everyone wants to help Ukraine. Not the every single deputy in USA Senate or something like that wants to give all the weapons to Ukraine to stop. I know that people in USA are also afraid of nuclear war and all of the stuff that Russia tried to threat the world. That's why you also need to find compromise in your society and help Ukraine. And this and every single European country also try to find this compromise too. And for me, it's my conspiracy theory that our partners, they give us this weapon, give us a lot of weapons, but with a slow speed to not Putin's feel too angry, but also to help us enough to defend ourselves, but also to let Putin to see the East territories like Donbas region and Luhansk. It seems something like that. It sounds like one of the conspiracy, because that's why I can't say that this is what I believe in or what people in Ukraine believe in too. Like the main message is like people in Ukraine really appreciate it helps, and everybody understand this. We can't do anything without our partners like USA, Britain, European countries, and a lot of the countries who helps us. We need to, it will be better to get these weapons faster, but if that's the actual speed, we will take it and will not say, oh, we are not satisfied because of your help, because we don't have a lot of options to in our
you have to trust, you know, because we need
to trust, yeah, because this is one of the important part of our relationship. We need to trust to each.
Who do you think is better prepared if this does go a long time, say years? Who has the advantage, the Ukraine side or Russia side?
It all depends on the amount of help, on the weight of help from the West. I mean, if you talk for now, Russia has much more weapon than Ukraine, much more potential to continue this war, much more people than Ukraine. So if we talk about this long war in perspective, Russia has more chance. But if the world will continue to help us, and if the world give us all this modern military equipment like HIMARS system and all these systems to fight for a long distance, Russia will lose this potential, and we will become more equipped and more ready to fight, because people in Ukraine are ready to fight for years. We are not like nobody. It's not the conversation about the people in Ukraine ready to fight till August or like till September, right, or till December. Yeah, it will fight to death, and nobody will feel okay if Russia will seize like the east of the country and the south, and then we start negotiations and make some kind of peace document. No, nobody will agree with this peace document.
Yeah, so there's no compromise, zero compromise. And also, you're not leaving. Like, you're not making plans to flee the country to get to some other country. Yeah.
From my point of view, I'm not going to leave. I don't have experience in war, but I'm going to do what I can do to help my army. So yeah, and other people in my country ready to do it too. And a lot of my friends, I feel like my friends go to army, and people just who was like one of my friends who was is a chief of the newspaper, and he said, okay, I get this message from military senator that we need you. And he said, okay, I will go. That's fine.
Wow. He joined the military. Chief of the newspaper. Yeah.
Meanwhile, I saw that the Russians have raised their military age up to 65 because I don't think they have enough soldiers to keep. So,
I can't.
That's good for you guys.
Wait, they're taking 65-year-olds in?
They raised it from maximum 40 up to 65. So
how do you get through boot camp as a
65? You can start shooting boomers.
they tried to use this tanks from museums for something like that. I had a joke that I'm sure that sometimes Russia will try to get Lenin in a battlefield because Lenin's a very good guy at the battlefield because he can go through the river very fast because he will not go down in river because, you know, difficult to float in English.
He's fat, so float? Or he's, no, he wasn't fat. That's somebody else.
I don't know. They got that 280-pound guy.
He will not drown. He will not drown because he's already dead, so he can go through the river really fast.
He's made out of like wax. Did they wax him? Is he embalmed?
He's embalmed.
He's embalmed. I don't know if he's some kind of...
Look at him, Ho Chi Minh. Get the whole gang back together.
Yeah, look at that 280-pound old general leading this regiment of 60-year-old men. It sounds like amazing. A bad movie idea, but yeah.
Well, sorry, Anton, what's the name of the comedy tour you're putting together?
Oh, this is so interesting. Probably its name's Kidding.
What does that mean?
Do you know this series with Jim Carrey? The series Kidding, where Jim Carrey there playing as Mr. Pickles, and he's like a host of the TV show.
Jim Carrey.
Just type Kidding in Google. Kidding
like K-I-D-D-I-N-G? Like just Kidding?
Ventura Pet Detective? No.
Ah, so it's called Kidding.
It's called... Oh, and I spell it wrong, right? Sorry, Kidding. Kidding, right?
K-I-D-D-I-N-G?
Yes, K-I-D-D-I-N-G.
Oh,
Kidding.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Got it.
I didn't know. I misunderstood what you were
K-I-D-D-I-N-G.
Totally.
So cool. And this is the name of this TV series with Jim Carrey.
Okay.
K-I-D-D-I-N-G. And this series about the guy who, the host of the kid show, and he tried to joke.
Oh yeah,
about,
Kidding.
Like chill, the stuff about for he's joking for chilled. Like he's like this show for kids.
Yeah.
But this host, he had a lot of problems in his life, but he need to continue to joke, despite these problems in his life. And I decided, yeah, this feels like my vibe now. I'm feeling something like that. I created this idea even before war. It was like in January when I feel all this tension about war, but I also decided to make my tour in March. And now we just decided to change my poster. I did the poster of this tour. It's reference to this TV series, Kidding with Jim Carrey.
The TV show? Okay.
Yeah, I can show you this poster if you want to check it. Let me just add the missiles at the background.
Add missiles?
Yeah, the missile just against of me, and it looks like...
Nice.
Okay.
It's a crazy concept. There's definitely somebody should do a documentary on this, of you traveling the country doing stand-up comedy during a war.
I don't know.
Our second episode of the TV show, Turner.
That's
going
where we go
Warzone.
Next, I think.
Going to Ukraine. Still going.
I don't have... I have one proposition for now. I have... let me talk about my English stand-up career. It has some attention in the world, but the second video was not so viral as the first one, but it was really interesting too for people, but not so viral. And Netflix are not talking with me or HBO or all these guys, but I have one guy from Britain who asked me to, do I want to try make half an hour special in English for Britain radio, for BBC, for Radio 4, as I remember.
Oh, amazing.
But it's not like, you know, it's on the proposal for now. And he will talk with these guys who will decide, is it interesting for BBC or it not interesting? But he said it has to be interesting. And if it will be interesting, I will try to do this special for radio. But I will have this stand-up tour in Ukraine language. And I don't have enough time to make more videos in English. I need to...
Step by step.
Tour. Yeah, and maybe then I really want to, even if nobody will interested in do some shows with me, documentary or any stuff, I'll do it just for me. I will write some kind of special for 40 minutes or 50 minutes in English and film it on YouTube and say, I don't care, just watch it if you want to watch it. I don't want to wait for Netflix or any other guys. Because
awesome.
I
only want. And then at some point you come to America, we do a tour. That's how it all
is. Maybe I will not able to leave my region, even in Kiev.
That's going to be part of the negotiations for the when they do make peace to get you out so we can tour.
Well, yeah, we got to talk to Zelensky. We'll figure that part out. You just work on the stand-up. We'll talk to Zelensky. That is it, everybody.
Okay.
That's the episode. Anton, thank you so much for doing it. That is all. Kaplan, what should we do?
Yeah, thank you so much. Happy 4th to everybody in solidarity. I was up till 4 in the morning listening to fireworks. Phil and felt like you. And in the meantime, I'm going to get lost.
Get lost.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.